It's time for the 2-Minute Drill on the Bill Riley Show. A quick hit look at what's going on around the world of sports locally, regionally, and nationally. The 2-Minute Drill brought to you by Alta Mortgage Financial on Utah's number one sports talk, ESPN 700.
Check in on some Pac-12 college football coming up here in the noon hour. Welcome into the Bill Riley Show. If you're just getting out of your work day or getting out for lunch. Kevin Gemmel from Pac-12 blog at ESPN.com will talk some football 69 days away from kickoff. Time for the 2-Minute Drill presented by Alta Mortgage Financial. We begin the 2-Minute Drill today by talking and previewing tomorrow night's RSL matchup with FC Dallas in the Metroplex and maybe sprinkling in some NBA basketball with the play-by-play voice of the Dallas Mavericks and some FC Dallas, too. Mark Folliwell. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Bill. How's it going?
Good. How's your summer?
Summer's great. It's as a precursor to Real Salt Lake coming here tomorrow night, it's very, very hot today, and I don't anticipate that changing much tomorrow. So,
or the next day, or the next day, it is June and July in North Texas, correct?
Hey, it's easy being a weather guy in North Texas. The TV meteorologist does not have a difficult job in the North Texas area in June, July, and August.
So FC Dallas is having another terrific season. I sometimes feel like that club doesn't always get its due in MLS soccer circles when they're having great seasons, and maybe it's the lack of necessarily postseason success recently, Mark, but another good year for that squad. What's RSL going to face tomorrow night in Frisco?
Well, I think the thing that, from an RSL perspective, that would be the thing that would look most daunting going into it tomorrow night is just that FC Dallas is very, very good at home. Now, they have had a few draws this year, and a couple of them I think they walk away from being disappointed. Earlier in the year, San Jose and Columbus came in here and scored in the opening 10 minutes. And so FC Dallas had to chase the game. They should come out of both of those with draws, so they at least didn't drop all 3 points, at least salvaged a point out of them. But they now are looking at, I believe it's a 14-game unbeaten streak at home in regular season play. The last time they lost at home at Toyota Stadium in Frisco was last August. And as you know, Bill, Real Salt Lake has not had a very good history coming and playing in Texas at either FC Dallas or at the Houston Dynamo. So to me, that's kind of one of the big stories of the lead-up to the match tomorrow night is that FC Dallas is continuing to play well by a large part at home, at least not lose, and RSL has obviously a tough history when they come to the state of Texas.
Yeah, it'll be warm, no doubt about it. And RSL's played a lot of games in a short period of time. I've always always seems like there's great attacking options for this FC Dallas side. One of my favorite players, again, that doesn't necessarily get a lot of run around the league, I love Fabian Castillo. And to me, when that guy gets in the open field or when that guy has the ability to blow by somebody, they're very, very dangerous. Who's been the point man or the danger man this year for the club, Mark?
A number of different people. I compare them to Real Salt Lake in that regard. I think RSL is, at least earlier this week when I looked at it, they were the only team in the league with 3 different 5-goal scorers. So I look at FC Dallas and I feel like that they're sort of in the same boat in that they have a lot of different attacking options. Now, you pointed out Castillo, and certainly Castillo can be breathtaking with his pace and coming down the left-hand side and going at defenders and taking them on 1v1. This year, Fabian has not taken his scoring chances as well as he would have liked. There are still some inconsistencies in his game that we have seen over the course of his 6 years with FC Dallas. So his goal numbers aren't very good so far this year. He just hasn't put away chances in situations where he needs to be putting away chances to be an elite goal scorer in Major League Soccer. The guy who pulls the strings is still Mauro Diaz, the number 10, the central attacking midfielder for FC Dallas. And when he's healthy and when he's playing well, this is a great distribution option, a great free kick specialist, all these sorts of things that Mauro Diaz brings to the table are really, really important to FC Dallas. Their leading scorer since last July 4th is actually Michael Barrios. Now, Barrios has been hurt recently, but he's back into the mix after getting injured in a game against New England a few weeks ago. But since last July the 4th, he has 11 goals, which are the most of anybody from FC Dallas. And he's just someone that they were able to find from a first division team in Columbia, a team that had just been promoted to the first division. And they got him in here last year. He's 5'4", so people will see him and think a little bit about João Plata or about Christian Teixeira at Vancouver Whitecaps, about the players very diminutive in stature, but because of pace and creativity and the ability to take their chance as well and find some space to have some success, they do well than you might, do better than you might suspect that they could. So those are options. Rudy's come in and was good in the first month after being with Portland hasn't done a lot since then. Tesho Akindele's had some success this year for FC Dallas, so they've got any number of options, and that's probably one of the things that makes them good is that they are versatile in the attack.
Before I let you go, one pick, a second rounder. Mavericks got A.J. Hammonds, I think, last night out of Purdue.
Yes.
Is it going to be an active summer again this year for Mark Cuban trying to land some free agents?
It's going to be a busy summer. It's going to be a summer full of the unexpected and full of the unknown for the Mavs. I like the A.J. Hammonds pick because he's 7 feet tall and 270 pounds. There are things to be concerned about. Why did a player of that size and skill level make it to you at 46? Why did he stay in school for 4 years? And those are going to be things that the Mavs will have to figure out going forward. But, for a team that's kind of right there around Utah in the Western Conference, Dallas has a lot of questions facing them this offseason, and they're aiming high in free agency. We'll see what kind of success they have because they know that they've got to do something to keep up with teams like Utah, who I think made, by the way, a great trade to upgrade a position of need in acquiring George Hill earlier this week. I thought that was a really, really good deal.
It's going to be really interesting to see what Dennis Lindsay does. He doesn't need any major pieces, any A-listers, but they need a couple more veterans like George Hill to plug in with that young team, and the Jazz could be pretty good next year.
I mean, that was, to me, how rare do you see this, Bill, that, I mean, to have a win-win trade for two teams doesn't happen often, and to get a three-team deal involved where Atlanta gets a pick, Atlanta opens the door for Schroeder, Indiana upgrades, Utah upgrades at point guard. I mean, like I said, it was a win-win deal all across the board for all three teams that were involved, and I think that was some pretty savvy GMing for Dennis Lindsay and a good acquisition for Utah, and it will just make things even more competitive between two teams that, as we all recall, had to go down to game 81 of the season this past year.
Totally agree. Hey, Mark, thanks so much. We'll talk to you again soon.
You got it, Bill. Anytime. Take care.
There you go. Mark Folliwell, play-by-play voice of FC Dallas and those Dallas Mavericks on the radio and TV. He does both. Mike Ganter joins us right now. We were just talking in Toronto about 45 minutes ago to former Utah point guard, now Raptors point guard, DeLon Wright. And now there's another former Ute heading to Toronto to play in that front court. Jakob Poeltl's on his way. He's actually there right now. And Mike covers the Toronto Raptors. How are you, Mike?
Good. How you doing, Bill?
I'm doing terrific. So Jakob Poeltl at number 9, good value pick. Does that kind of signify to you that Bismack Biyombo's probably on his way out?
Oh, yeah, I think that was always going to be the case. They can't afford him anymore. He's played himself right out of town. I mean, there's talk that he may be pushing like $20 million a year. I don't know if it's that high, but I've seen a couple of reports like that. He's going to be about 15, and they can't fit him in anymore. So, yeah, as much as they like Bismack Biyombo, he had to go, and Jakob seems like a guy who can come in and at least provide some depth behind Valanciunas.
Yeah, I was going to say Valanciunas is there. We didn't see him a lot down the stretch in the playoffs, but Jakob's a guy that's a 7-footer with good hands, really, really good feet as well. And it would seem to me, I'm just looking at the depth chart, he would probably be the backup to Valanciunas, probably play 10, 12, 15 minutes a night.
Yeah, I don't know how quickly. I mean, Coach Casey here, he is not he's not a guy who throws minutes rookie away or to the rookie very quickly, or any rookie. You got to earn it. Having said that, they're going to need some minutes out of him, I think, just because Bismack's probably gone. You've got another guy, Lucas Nogueira, who's been here, but he's been slowly developing, and he's probably not even at Jakob's point yet. There's also talk that they may try to find him some minutes at the four. I don't think, from what I've seen, he was almost exclusively a center at Utah. So I don't know, but they seem to think with his foot speed that he may be able to play some minutes alongside Valanciunas. So they're going to try that out in summer league, I guess.
It was a good year for the Raptors, no doubt about it. You add, obviously, now a little bit of depth, and we just talked to DeLon a little while ago. He's hoping to get a few more minutes this year. Are the Raptors going to be active in free agency this summer, or do they like the core of their team and maybe just a few small pieces here and there?
Well, they got to re-sign DeMar DeRozan, and that's going to put them right up against the cap. So I can't imagine they're going to be extremely active in free agency. You're probably going to see Luis Scola, who started at the four last year, he's probably gone. We're not sure. They've got to re-sign James Johnson. I'm not sure they're bringing him back. And so they may have to go find a few pieces, but it's not going to be like last year where they're throwing, $63 million or $65 million at Damari Carroll or anything like that. It's going to be a busy summer for the NBA. It's just I don't think it's going to be that busy on the free agency front for the Raptors. They've got their core. They're pretty happy with it. They still don't know what they got really, or they still don't really. They still haven't really realized much out of Carroll yet, just because he was hurt most of the year. So I'm sure they'll look at him more as a sort of that. You know, he can take us to the next level if he can stay healthy.
Last thing, though, from your opinion, you cover the club. Is this a good situation Pirtle's coming into from a culture in Toronto, but also a playing situation?
Oh, it's ideal. I mean, and I'm trying not to be biased here, but this team, I mean, Masai Ujiri and his staff put such a premium on chemistry and culture. And you've got two leaders in DeRozan and Lowry who just want to win. There's a good group around them. Jakob's going to be in really good hands. And yeah, as you know, I mean, DeLon, right? He's a prince of a guy. I mean, he's perfect for Jakob here. He's going to help the transition to the NBA. And you know, I mean, he had a little bit of help this year. Him and Norm Powell, or DeLon and Norm Powell, coming in together.
Yep.
So he wasn't completely alone. But to have a guy that you know and a guy you call your friend to help you through that first, you know, 2 months or whatever it is, where you got to get used to the travel, you got to get used to, you know, the day-to-day grind. I think he's in a perfect position.
Mike, thanks so much. Enjoy your summer in Toronto, and we'll talk to you again real soon.
All right. Thanks, Bill.
Appreciate it. Mike Gantner with us. He covers the Raptors for the Toronto Star. Got a double note. It's the Toronto Sun. There's like four newspapers, five, and Toronto's one of the few places where newspapers are actually still thriving. So appreciate his insight on Pirtle and the situation Jakob and obviously DeLon Ryder in Toronto.